Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for February the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is Hour 2 of 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We call it the Blue Book, the blueprint for liberty. We also believe the checks and balances put in place by the founders, the solutions to the problems we face. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a road to hoe. We'll never be more free than we have education and morality in the people, that's for sure. And you know what? The checks and balances put in place by our founders, absolutely one of the great solutions in our humble opinion. Okay, there's brilliance there. There's solutions there. There's ideas. There's answers. There's hope. All right, Kirk Cosby with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, my friend. Before we get to our guest really quick, you got a couple of tidbits here, huh, Kirk?
Well, yeah, there's a headline, or at least, you know, their headline was, you know, most folks saw this. Debate slip-up seems to halt Rubio's momentum. And this was the whole, you know, that he was basically like a robot saying the same old stuff. But I thought it was interesting down inside the story that somebody could have used this headline that would have been really quite different. There was a little part in there, and this is my little thrown-in headline. It says, Trump, surprisingly, a little more of a nice guy to Rubio. Most missed it. And this is what part of the story said. Says, in a departure for a candidate who typically jumps at the chance to puncture his opponents, the businessman resisted critiquing Rubio in post-debate interviews. Quote, he's been hit very hard on the Twitter, end quote, Trump said late Saturday night, wincing. He added, quote, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to comment on anybody else's performance because I actually have a very good relationship with Marco, end quote. Now, I just, you know, thought, at least in my opinion, that this was worthy of mention. You know, I mean, some folks say that Mr. Trump doesn't even have any feelings, or he's just all he is just a bombastic, evil dude that would never even be kind to anybody. But, you know, there's a few little hints of even humility after the Iowa thing, huh, Sam?
Yeah, you're talking about Donald Trump here. And the other interesting thing is, I guess there was a mix-up when the debate happened on Saturday night, and Ben Carson was kind of standing in the wings. They had already called him out, and I guess he didn't realize that he was supposed to go. How that happened, I don't know, but Trump talked about it. He was on the Michael Savage radio program, and Trump talked about it, and he said, you know, it was so loud back then. I don't blame it on Ben. I blame it on the network. It was very confusing. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so the bottom line is when Trump started to come out, he saw Ben there on the side, and he stopped, and he said, Ben, you've already been called. You need to go first. And so Trump, all the other candidates just walked by and ignored Ben. But it turns out that Donald Trump actually helped Ben and said, come on, Ben, you're supposed to go first, buddy. And Ben's like, oh, geez, I didn't realize I was supposed to go. And anyway, the bottom line is Trump walked out with Carson and let Carson go first as it was supposed to be. And he kind of helped solve the debacle there. So I guess Trump putting together a
little bit more.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, what's that? It's just not supposed to be.
Well, maybe the businessman's just off his game, Kurt. You know?
Maybe he's just part human. I mean, he could
what?
Be, you know.
Come on. Human? No, this guy's like a Neanderthal. He hates women. He hates everybody. He's just on
right.
a tear.
That's what they
destroy
say,
everything. Now, I'm not really fond of Trump. I don't think he should be our next president, personally.
Right.
However, there are some kind actions that he's taken, and it really shows you a little bit about the other candidates. Why didn't they do the same thing that Trump did to Ben? Why didn't they say, Ben, you're supposed to go, buddy? Or whatever. Well, yeah. Ted wants you to believe he's Ben's best friend. I called up Ben. I apologized to him. But yet, you know, there's a little, I don't know. What do you call it, Kurt? I would
walk
call it unethical.
Walk, talk to talk. Mm-hmm.
Unethical behavior by Ted Cruz on that. He apologized after he got all the votes, you know. I'm really sorry that I got all the votes. Well,
I'm sure he wants a redo of the voting there.
Of course he does.
He wants to redo that whole thing.
Not. Anyway, Ted Cruz begging me for money right after the event, too. Just strange stuff. We'll see what happens in the upcoming voting today. If you're what, a New Hampshireian? Is that what you say, Kurt? Are they called New Hampshireians?
Or New Hampshireite? I'm not sure.
New Hampshireites? Exactly. Maybe Alan Phillips, the attorney at law, knows more. What do you call those New Hampshireites, sir? Welcome.
Pleasure to be here as always.
Are they New Hampshireans?
You got me. I'd have to look it up.
Politicians? What do you call those? I don't know. Wow. Well, they call it the free live free or die state, right? So you just probably call them the freers.
That's probably as good as anything else.
All right. Anyway, I find it very interesting, though, that Trump is setting a more polite tone. Do you have any opinions on this political race here going on there, Alan?
I really don't. Sorry if that disappoints. I have become more and more skeptical over the years that it's not really all that important who wins the election.
You just think it's political theater? Welcome to the club, sir.
I think it's a certain amount of political theater. I think the people who pull the strings are not the ones that are not always the ones that are out front and center. I think there's a certain I don't think it's ever black and white 100% one way or the other, but I think there's a lot of control exercised from powerful people who are not necessarily the person sitting in the president's office. Not to say that it's irrelevant, don't get me wrong. But I've just become more and more cynical, I guess, with regard to the whole thing. I think we're going to be seeing a real interesting phase this year and in coming years, because we're seeing more and more effort for people to bring out some of the deception from behind the scenes. And, of course, that's going to be resisted vigorously, as it always has been. But and maybe I'm a blind optimist to say so, but I think we're going to see more of the deception brought out in a way that more people can actually see it. And as this happens, if it happens, we're going to see an interesting transformation of our society, potentially in a fairly short period of time, a number of many years, of course. But if that's the case, if the deception that we've talked about, not just, of course, with vaccines, but many other issues, if the deception does become exposed and more people realize that we have been misled or even outright lied to in a number of areas, it would require a transformation of society as we know it today. And what that would, how that would impact things like the political structure and candidacy and so forth, it'd be very interesting. I don't have a clear sense or guess for you about that. But let's just say I am optimistically looking for some kind of transformation over the next few to several years as more and more of the deception comes out. As a necessary byproduct of that. But that, again, it's not to say that I'm going to ignore, dismiss, or discount the political system, because people, even if the people in power are manipulated and controlled by others behind the scenes, I don't believe it's 100% complete puppet robotic sort of thing. The person in the presidency is a image for the entire country, to the rest of the world, as well as to ourselves. So that's not a trivial matter. And Trump, it's very interesting to me that a man of his personality and demeanor gets where he is. It's sort of interesting. The people who become really financially successful at the very, very high end get there because they have qualities in terms of the way they operate business that, if we understood those qualities, would be the very reasons not to put these people on pedestals the way that we as our culture and society do because of their financial success. And what I mean by that more specifically, Sam, is that in order to be successful in very large business and, not good money, but the big money, the top money, you necessarily bump up against moral, ethical, and even legal criminal boundaries. And you have to ask yourself as a individual or company, are you going to cross over those lines in order to outcompete your competitors? And many large industries freely and routinely cross over those boundaries. And so you get to the level of billionaire or multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical industry, for example, because you are willing, in today's world anyway, because you are willing to overstep moral, ethical, and legal and even outright criminal boundaries in some well-documented instances. So should we be praising those people because of their success, or should we be disgusted because they have been willing to step over boundaries that most people would not?
I would submit a little bit of both, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, and as I say, I don't think it's ever black and white, 100% one way or the other. It's a more complicated world than that. Yeah, people who are successful.
I don't dare say the 50 Shades of Grey. That'd just be off the charts. All right, quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Alan Phillips with us, attorney at law, vaccinerights.com, pandemicresponseproject.com, in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. A couple other quick political tidbits before we talk with Alan Phillips clearly about vaccinations and what's going on there. I guess Chuck Norris was a big supporter of Mike Huckabee. But now that Mike Huckabee dropped out, Kurt, who is Chuck Norris going to support? I guess this isn't a joke, is it? You've all heard these Chuck Norris jokes, right?
Good point.
You know, Chuck Norris went to McDonald's, tried to get a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and of course he got one, right?
Yeah, good point.
All right.
But I guess I didn't know he was that much of a supporter for, as they call it in the World Net Daily Peace, Huck. But anyway, now that Huck is out, they asked him who he wanted to support, and he... Well, along with his, what they say in the story, politically active wife, Gina, told WorldNet Daily that we're not endorsing anyone at this time, but we will support whoever ends up being the nominee for the Republican Party in the general election. That's what they said in a statement. But anyway...
All right, found that interesting. Also, quickly, in the debate, the talking times were clocked by NPR. And they got a final talking time tally. I thought I'd tell you that real quick.
Yeah.
Rubio talked the most. He got 18 minutes and 14 seconds. Cruz, 17 minutes, 34 seconds. Trump, 15 minutes, 32 seconds. Christie, 12 minutes, 53 seconds. Bush, 12 minutes, 30 seconds. Kasich, 10 minutes, 33 seconds. Carson, 8 minutes, 46 seconds. There you go. Kind of interesting, huh?
Mm.
Now, it's kind of interesting to me. One gets over double.
The other one, yeah.
Carson.
Good point.
So Rubio gets 18 plus. Carson gets 8 plus. Very interesting indeed. It's easy to see, but the bottom line is Rubio melted down the most, too. So that's kind of fascinating. All right, there's a headline, Alan Phillips, that I want to kind of bring up, and I want to get your opinion on this headline. It's very interesting. It says this: there are 271 new vaccines in Big Pharma's pipeline. Health Impact News. Whoa, is this really true?
This is a figure I've heard... several months ago, as well as more recently, and heard a figure maybe a couple of years ago now that they were saying there were over 300 new vaccines in development. It makes perfect sense when you look at the political landscape here. You know, we have this National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act that was passed in 1986 that significantly removed liability for the death and disability caused by vaccines for the manufacturers, and then a U.S. Supreme Court case in 2011 that, for all practical purposes, removed what little liability had been left by that 1986 act. So there's this wide-open door now for the pharmaceutical industry to get as many vaccines out there and administering as many of them to as many people as possible because there's virtually no liability. And not only that, the federal government spends billions of dollars each year subsidizing the research and development. So the government pays them to develop the new vaccines. State and federal governments purchase vaccines. The federal government and even some state governments have programs in place to compensate the victims of vaccines, anyone who's injured or a family member of somebody who's killed by a vaccine. I don't know where you could have a better, I would call it a racket, but business arrangement. I don't know any industry on the planet that has that kind of an arrangement, except possibly the oil and gas industry. But it's just amazing. I mean, why wouldn't you be developing as many vaccines as you could, looking at it from a purely dollars point of view?
Reagan signed the National Childhood Injury Act of 1986. Now, this is beyond imagination, but absolving drug companies from all medical/legal liabilities. This is impossible to believe almost. Everybody used to believe Reagan was like this awesome freedom-fighting dude, Alan Phillips.
Well, the law is based on a fundamental principle, and this is really interesting idea about vaccines generally. People will often try to compare vaccines to other things, medically, legally, and in fact, this is common in the legal world when you're looking at legal precedent, court cases that provide us points of reference in the law, and it's common in the practice of law to compare this case to that case or this situation to that situation. It doesn't work well with vaccines because vaccines are really just quite unique medically and legally, and one of the single things that makes them unique is this belief that your vaccine protects other people.
By the way, I might add it's this unscientific belief as well, because we're not talking about the scientific method. We're not talking about factual details. We're talking about opinion here, right?
Well, their official government statistics show us that the decline of mortality from the childhood infectious diseases in the 1900s, you look at any of these diseases, polio is an exception we can get into in a minute if you want, but all the other diseases, there's this steady decline. If you look at a graph where the 1900s on the left and 2000s on the right, you see a line from the upper left to the bottom right across the 1900s. All these diseases steadily declined, the mortality from these diseases steadily declined across some major portion of the 1900s. But that decline proceeded by about 90 to 95% before the vaccines were even introduced. So we've all been taught in school and medical students and nursing students in college that vaccines saved us all. But vaccines are not the reason that we got or today have low disease death rates. But legally, vaccines and politically are presumed to be something that is necessary. It's, the idea of not having vaccines is not an idea that we've ever been able to get on the table. And so if you're starting from the assumption that you have to have vaccines, which is what this 1986 Act does, then the only question is, how do you set up an arrangement so that we keep the flow of vaccines coming? This, of course, was no accident.
Yeah, but that whole idea that we're going to start with that premise is not scientific by the very nature.
Well, it's on a false premise, and that's my point. But if you allow that false premise to be the starting point, then you get what we have today.
So if you start with a lie, you get more lies.
Yeah, and one of the ways I generalize this when I talk to people, legislative activists, and sometimes to clients, is I'll say that we need to understand that the healthcare system in this country is based on mainstream medicine. And now I have personally worked with hundreds of healthcare workers as clients in the work I do helping people to legally avoid vaccines, and they are some of the most wonderful people in the world. But the healthcare system is severely corrupt. And if you start with something corrupt, then even when the legal systems and political systems work the way they're supposed to, the legislatures and the courts, and of course they don't always do that, but even when they do, if your starting point is corrupt mainstream medicine, there's a really good chance that most of the time you're going to get a corrupt answer. And that's exactly what we see in state and federal laws around the country concerning vaccines and other healthcare issues as well.
All right, it gets worse. What do you, 271, whether we can challenge that number to be exactly accurate or not, don't know, but there's probably about 250 current vaccines that are approved and available now. You add that, the whatever's in the pipeline, whatever the number is, I don't even care if it's 271, 186, you know, whatever the number is, who cares? It is massive. How are they going to put that on the docket? I mean, you'd be taking shots every day your whole life, Alan.
Well, there's been an incremental agenda that's been rolling out for decades. They add vaccines, a couple here, a couple there, and over a period of decades. And it's a real simple, if horrifying in terms of the effects, process, because you take little steps and then people will resist a little bit, but the steps go forward.
All right, Alan Phillips with us, ladies and gentlemen. More in seconds. PandemicResponseProject.com, VaccineRights.com, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter.
and it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season, like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Our guest, attorney at law, Alan Phillips, vaccinerights.com, pandemicresponseproject.com. If you need a consultant to help you understand how to opt out of vaccines, if you've got a bill or a legislative initiative in your area, get a hold of Alan. He's the key guy to have on the beat. He knows what's going on from a legal point of view, and he realizes that, you know what, after the fact, it's a lot harder to fight these things. If you get on the ground floor with legislation, protect your right to opt out, to protect your agency to choose as you will, and to have transparency in education, and then leave choices up to the American people. That's the best way to go about this, ladies and gentlemen. PandemicResponseProject.com, VaccineRights.com. Alan Phillips is his name. Now, so I don't know the number of vaccines in the pipeline. They say there's 271. We've already got like 250 out in the wild right now. It seems to me the only way they can possibly ratchet up or increase more vaccinations is if they start creating, kind of like they did with the diphtheria and the polio and all these other, they mix them all together in a, I don't know what you call it, a witch's brew, Alan? I don't know, some kind of a concoction. The problem is when they do that, the scientific method even goes further out the window because you have all kinds of competing questions about their safety and their effectiveness, right?
Well, according to official government statistics, there's not even a need for vaccines in the first place. And there's a fundamental flaw in the whole premise of vaccines because the effectiveness of vaccines is presumed based on the fact that vaccines, when they are administered in most people, will generate antibodies. The body will have an antibody response. But there's been research I'm aware of as far back as 1950 that shows that there is no reliable correlation between antibody levels and immunity or one's chances of getting or not getting a disease when they're exposed. So the whole premise is flawed from the get-go, but even more so, as with what you're describing, when they start doing different mixtures of vaccines. Now, part of the theory from the pro-vaccine point of view is they say, well, it's not ethical to do a study where you have, say, 500 children that you vaccinate and 500 that you don't vaccinate, or you give a placebo vaccine so there's no protection there, because then all the ones that weren't vaccinated or got the placebo vaccine, they're unprotected, and it would just be unethical to do that. In concept, you know, there's validity to that idea. The problem, of course, is that in today's world, there are many unvaccinated children around.
But I would say the opposite's true, Alan. I would say the fact that you give these people vaccines that are not proven safe, that are not proven effective, that have not passed scientific reality and or scrutiny or double-blind testing to the nth degree like needs to be for the CDC or the Food and Drug Administration to approve these vaccines, with the idea that we're going to have the President of the United States, Mr. Ronald Reagan, say no vaccine manufacturer shall be liable for damages arising from a vaccine-related injury or death. That alone says they know that the opposite that I'm claiming is true. The people that are vaccinated are at serious, serious unethical risk.
Well, if the vaccines are really effective, you don't have to mandate them. People will be lining up to get them.
And you don't need to create some kind of a cloak immunity for them either.
Right. If they're really safe, you don't have to offer immunity from liability. So none of this makes sense unless you look at it from the context of how do we further the industry's profit agenda and put health, make that a secondary or non-existent concern. You know, it's a really interesting phenomenon here, Sam, when you look at the fact that the CDC says vaccines are safe and effective, and yet the U.S. Supreme Court said that vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. And when I looked at that, my first thought was, well, here's the U.S. government speaking out of two sides of its mouth. One part of the U.S. government is saying they're safe and effective. Another part is saying just the opposite. But you know what, Sam? Both of those entities, the Supreme Court and the CDC, are serving the same master with their opposite conclusions. The CDC, of course, by saying vaccines are safe and effective, is promoting vaccine sales. The U.S. Supreme Court, in saying they are unavoidably unsafe, was justifying the removal of liability. Both of them are serving the pharmaceutical industry.
It seems like a lawsuit could be mounted with regards to this intentional agenda that's obviously exposed in both of their, quote, statements, right?
Well, I think that when I say that the industry has virtually no liability, there's a little crack in there, and I think the crack is on criminal grounds. And we now have documents that have been posted on the Internet, released on the Internet, proving that CDC officials deliberately withheld, in fact, they destroyed data and records they had showing that vaccines caused autism, caused an increase in autism rates. There was a meeting where these people got together and they said, we can't let this out. They brought all their papers in and threw them all away. One of these people recognized, well, more than one recognized that this is unlawful, but one of them had a conscience and made copies of many of these records, gave them to a Florida congressional representative who has now at least twice formally asked for Congress to investigate. Congress has not responded to those requests for an investigation. That tells you something big right there about whether Congress serves the industry or the people. And sadly, but not surprisingly in today's world, clearly they are not there to serve the people. They are there to serve big business. This is not just an interpretation or conspiracy theory on my part, by the way. We had a study a few months ago from Princeton University that concluded that the average person has zero influence on federal policy, that it's all driven by big money. So it's not like that's a shocking surprise, but it's nice to have a formal institution investigate and tell us in sort of a more formal way that, yeah, this is really how it all works. But this is a real serious problem. And Sam, I think you and I have had general discussions and agreement in the past that the federal government has gotten way out of control. We need to go back to the original intent of the Founding Fathers, which was a very small federal government, only where it's absolutely necessary, and bring some of this power back to individual states, because we've just lost all control, I think, for all practical purposes of the federal government, certainly at least when it comes to healthcare policy and law.
Yes, we agree on that for sure. And the real question that we need to ask ourselves is, how do we rein this in? If we're going to have Congress doing the bidding of the big pharma companies, if we're going to have the courts lying, doing the big, you know, bidding of the pharmaceutical companies, in other words, this idea that it's, what was their exact words?
the phrase they used, and this phrase showed up about 24 times in the official court opinion, the write-up of this case, unavoidably unsafe.
Okay, now that's a lie. They are not unavoidably unsafe. If I don't take them, then they're avoidably unsafe, right?
I would say so. And who knows, maybe there is a way to develop vaccines that would be far more safe and effective, but there certainly is no incentive for the industry to even try to do that.
And that, to me, is the unethical moral conundrum in which we find ourselves. You're pointing out that if the free market was left to itself, if there's liability and accountability for one's actions, whether it be corporate or individual, and there was liability for that, and people had a true due process of law and redress of grievance based on if they've been wronged, and the court played its proper, in my opinion, legal role there, then companies might be able to find ways to ethically create vaccines that would be tested, that would be safe, that would be effective. It would slow down the creation big time. It would require companies to really dot their I's and cross their T's. But that accountability could actually generate what you're saying. But the way it currently stands, unethically, we'll never even know, sir.
Well, in the 1980s, early to mid-1980s, the pharmaceutical companies were pulling out of the vaccine manufacturing business because of the court awards, high court awards for the injury and death caused by vaccines. I think we would see a substantial diminishing, if not even a total loss of vaccines. Now, this was considered to be horrific and terrible. We returned to the early 1900s with, you know, disease rampant everywhere. And, of course, as I already mentioned, the official government data tells us that that is not what would happen. So we were, again, lied to about that. But, Sam, there are more effective alternatives. And I'll just give you one example, something called homeoprophylaxis, which is the use of homeopathic remedies, particular types of remedies that work in a very similar function to vaccines. There have been studies in other countries involving literally millions of people in India and Cuba, are two I know off the top of my head, where they have found that homeoprophylaxis truly does work, first of all, in terms of preventing infectious disease. And people don't die or become disabled from taking homeopathic remedies.
And the two Cubans on the campaign stage should tell us about Cuban success with that, right?
It is. There was an amazing story in Cuba back in the fall of 2008 when they used this to prevent leptospirosis, a fever disease, because they didn't have time to develop the regular vaccines. And they found that it was more effective than allopathic vaccines. It was about 1/15 the cost. And again, no death and disability from the homeopathic remedies like there is with
But, of course, that doesn't generate filthy lucre. Therefore, not on the table for America, huh? Quick pause. Alan Phillips in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Alan Phillips is making the point that, you know what, the vaccines really aren't safe and effective. That, you know what, we believe this lie over the 1900s that, hey, vaccines reduced all these diseases. They were being reduced significantly before the vaccines. Statistics prove that reality. And I want to make one last point, then Kurt's got several questions for you, Alan Phillips. The reality is that our need for vaccines has decreased significantly because of two main factors. One, hygiene has improved significantly. We've got indoor plumbing. We've got modern techniques to clean things up. If somebody gets sick and they throw up or they have diarrhea or whatever, you can clean it up. We have education that really lets people understand about, surfaces and cooking and keeping, things separate from each other. I won't go into details. It gets kind of gross. But nevertheless, with education and with improved hygiene and modern technology, indoor plumbing and electricity and lights and, things to clean, and the list goes on and on. But with education and hygiene, we've really reduced the need for vaccinations in the first place. And then if you use these natural solutions, man, what vaccines would you need left? And they might be able to create a safe and effective situation where it might make some sense, depending on. But that would be yet to be seen. What it would do, though, is take all the money off the table, wouldn't it?
Well, certainly would remove the cash cow that it has become. And this is a strategy that the pharmaceutical industry has been working on for many, many years, as the patents for many of the so-called blockbuster drugs have been running out, and they have been looking for other places to other baskets to put their eggs in, so to speak. And what would be more attractive than one where you have no liability and the government pays you not only to make the product, but then buys the product from you and mandates everybody to get it? I mean, what could be a better situation from a purely business strategy point of view? So it's no wonder that we're seeing more and more focus put on vaccines and more people being required to get vaccines, increasingly now adults being required to get vaccines. Department of Health and Human Services has a goal of vaccinating 80% of adults in the U.S. with the flu shot every year by 2020, and I'm sure that the healthy people 2030 will be wanting to vaccinate all adults, revaccinate all adults with the childhood vaccines and who knows however many other vaccines they can get in the list. And if they continue to proceed incrementally, what has happened at least so far is that there's always people who protest and resist, but it's usually small enough numbers that they can keep that contained and the larger agenda rolls forward. So we need to prove them wrong on that theory. We're going to have to become proactive, especially with state legislators, educating them about these problems, that there really are documented death and disability caused by vaccines, and those numbers have gone up. Over the last 6 years, Sam, the federal government has paid out over, on average, $220 million a year. That is twice the average over the life of the program.
Now, by the way, though, the more vaccines they put on the market, the more that will increase for obvious reasons. We're bringing vaccines to market faster without testing. They're less safe and effective as we do. We claim we have no choice due to these illnesses that just crank up, and then all of a sudden, my golly, we got a crisis on our hands. That's why they want you to believe everything's a pandemic. It just goes on and on. But this headline is shocking, and then we're going straight to Kurt. Unvaccinated children called a threat, says Reuters news service. Unvaccinated children are called a threat. I would submit the vaccinated children are the threat. They're the ones walking around with embryo disease in their bodies, intentionally injected. Who would be the threat? This is crazy talk. But this is how they, again, use the mainstream press to propagandize the people, to indoctrinate the people, and to sell their lie for big money, for big pharma, for a government slash corporate agenda that's not good for the people, and money's all at the heart of it. All right, Kurt?
My question, Alan, you mentioned just a few minutes ago about this Florida state representative who had been made aware of what these companies were doing with regard to autism and how they had this proof that it was causing things, and then they basically decided to cover it up, and somebody made copies of it. Do you have that on your website? Is that a link? I mean, I look there and I see Alan's Autism One conference presentation. That's a 34-page PDF. Is it in there, or where is this, the details on that?
I'm looking right now, skimming through here. I know I've got this on my news link somewhere. There is a gentleman, and I'm embarrassingly drawing a blank here, but is a news journalist in Atlanta who just recently put out a video about this issue. Let me see if I can find it here and give you his name. But he actually posted along with that video about this issue links to those actual documents. The broader issue here is that we've got to expose the underlying corruption in a way that mainstream medicine is forced to reform. And it's under the theory that even a bad person will do the right thing if he's got a spotlight on him. And so this is sort of the general concept. And whether or not we can do that without getting complete information into mainstream media, because the mainstream media, as far as this issue is concerned, vaccines and healthcare generally, is controlled either by the pharmaceutical industry or the same people who own and run the pharmaceutical industries. And so you rarely see much of anything resembling complete information in the mainstream media. Now, maybe people have been moving more and more away from mainstream media into alternative media to get information. So it may be that ultimately we don't have to get the mainstream media in order to resolve the issue. Here I found it. The gentleman's name is Ben Swan. The link on the news page of the PandemicResponseProject.com, it's under the January links. It's a January 26th link, and it says Truth in Media, CDC Vaccines and Autism.
Yeah, and Ben Swan is now a CBS reporter, just so everybody knows. We know Ben Swan well.
Oh, okay, great. Well, Ben, of course, there have been other people working on this issue. I know Dr. Andrew Wakefield has been working on putting together a full-length video going into great depth and detail about this issue. But Ben Swan has jumped out there with looks like it's about a 24-minute or so video, and I believe has actually posted links to these documents. And, you know, my thought about that is grab those documents while you can, because how long are those links going to be up there? I don't know. But it's just mind-boggling to any of us who do have a conscience, and that would be most of us, frankly, I think. Sam and Kurt, I have faith in humanity generally, but there's a few bad apples in the barrel, and some of them are just really, really bad apples.
And I have faith as well, as long as we don't allow people to get too much power, and that's kind of the big key. Did you have more, Kurt?
Yep.
No, that's, I mean, basically you're saying Ben Swan tells that story about the vaccine companies hiding the information and points to the paperwork, et cetera, right there. Is that right, Alan?
Yes, yes, sir. That's what I'm saying in my understanding.
Yeah, basically Ben Swan takes on the CDC is kind of the issue. I see it now, and actually now that you mentioned Ben Swan, I remember this. Report. It's called Reality Check, Kurt. Mm-hmm. CDC scientist admits
I see it.
Data of vaccines is bogus.
All right. Very good.
By the way, it was October 29, 2015, just for the inquiring mind. All right. Any wrap-up ideas here, Alan?
Well, just this reinforce this idea that ultimately I think the solution here is about documenting and exposing the corruption. Ben Swan has taken a big step in that direction. The gentleman in Florida was a federal congressional representative trying to get Congress to look into this, and so far it's fallen on deaf ears. And but I don't know that there's any, you know, one solution or one thing to do. Sam, I think it's going to take all of us waking up one at a time and each of us doing whatever it is we can to help further the cause here. And whether you think vaccines are great or not, as you and I keep saying, it's not even necessarily the issue. The issue, and more fundamental issue, is the right to make an informed choice. And if you want to get vaccines and you've done your homework, I wish you luck, but I also support your right to make that decision. But I think what we'll see as the truth comes out in coming months and years is more and more people moving away from vaccines as a way of addressing the infectious disease issue.
And legislatively is the key to the solution, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get on this before it becomes law. It's very hard to deal with it after the fact. The second thing you should know is I don't care where you stand on vaccines. You can be for them, against them. You can say it's a reward-risk analysis, and I'm going to decide on a case-by-case basis. I think you should be free to do all that. And I think what we need is transparency and facts and education, and let Americans come to their own conclusions on this matter. And by the way, if I was in a foreign country and I stepped on a nail, I would want a tetanus shot. That's just me. Okay, I'm not 100% anti-vaccine. I do believe it's a risk-reward analysis, and in America right now, I believe the risk is too great. And there it is. That's my opinion. You need to do your own. We support your right to choose as you will once you have accurate, transparent information. Thank you so much, Alan.
Thank you as well. Take care, guys.
There he goes. He does a great job, as always, ladies and gentlemen. Informed. He's got supportive documents on his website to help you in your stand for choice. All right. VaccineRights.com. We can save America. This nation shall endure.